Let us stand for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this service, this worship service, this special service. Lord, we pray that you would just be near. May you have words that we stand in need of, words that we can apply to our lives and be changed. We thank you for the ordinance of marriage. And Lord, as we think of it resembling your love for the church, Lord, pray you would just help those of us that are married to renew our commitments that we've made, our vows we've made. And we think especially of Jared and Rochelle as we go through this service this morning, as they ponder the commitments they're going to make to you and also for each other. Lord, pray that you would just bless them in a special way. We pray that you're, through this time of this service, would be a worship service and that we may lift our hearts to you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We've heard these words many times. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And so, it is another day. And I greet you in Jesus' name. I welcome each one here. On the behalf of the Huber and Sensnick families, they welcome you here. And I want you to have a worshipful time as you're here. We also, as we think about worship, we want Jesus to be here and to be part of this wedding service with us. He's the one we're worshiping. He's the one we're serving. We want him to be Lord of this service and especially pray that his spirit would be here with us and present with us and be part of this wedding service. Said it's a special service. It's a day service where we are going to witness two individuals make vows to God and to one another that are binding for life. It's also a worship service. So as we ponder that, let's remember that there's no picture taking through the service this morning. Following the service here, there is a reception planned at the Finger Lakes Fellowship Center. It's on State Route 414, and all are welcome to attend that after the service here. You have a program. We're going to follow the order of the outline of the service as it's outlined there in your program. We're going to look to Brother Mike Martin for two songs, Gentle Holy Spirit and The Wonder of Love. Following those two songs, we're going to look to Brother Tim Hoover for a devotional and also for a standing prayer. Following that prayer, we're going to have another song led by our chorister Mike, and O Father, Lead Us is the song title. Following that song, we're going to look to Brother Carson Bear for the message, what the Lord has laid on his heart. Let's worship together.
Breezes on these people gathered. Good morning, everyone. God has given us a beautiful Saturday morning to come here and worship Him on this special day. Jared and Shelley, I'm honored to be invited to your wedding and to be here to share this special day with you. It doesn't seem like all that long ago that I was the young man sitting on the front bench and counting down those minutes until I could say I do. You know, on that day, I never dreamed that about a dozen years and a few weeks later, I'd be standing in this place talking to you and giving you words of encouragement for your future together. But that's what I want to do here this morning, a few words of encouragement for our devotional thoughts. You know, as I think back on my wedding day, those couple years ago, I can guess at some of those thoughts and emotions that are going through your mind this morning. Jared, for sure, Shelley, too. You know, first on the list, probably highest on that list of emotions, things you're feeling right now is excitement, anticipation. You're excited about being married, and that's great. You should be excited about being married. And somewhere on that list, it's probably a little bit of nervousness. There's a lot of people, a lot of friends, family here to witness you getting married this morning, and being in front of a lot of people makes you a little nervous. Definitely makes me just a little bit nervous. Also, somewhere on that list is probably a little bit of uncertainty. Maybe you could even call it trepidation. You know, both of you realize, I believe, that today is a momentous day in your life, a day when everything you knew changes. After today, Jared will be the man of the house. At his house, he's responsible for taking care of his wife, and someday, if God blesses him, a family. After today, Shelley's going to move to that far-off land, Missouri, to live with Jared and be his wife. You know, those of us here from Missouri today couldn't be happier with that decision. We're thrilled to have you planning to live in Missouri. But for you, Shelley, that's a big change. I understand that. You'd be superhuman if you didn't think about that change twice and think about those changes with just a little bit of apprehension. You know, when my wife Dawn and I got married, she was from Pennsylvania and I was living in Missouri. So I believe I can understand a little bit of what you're feeling today. And so as I thought about what to talk about for devotions today, I felt that God wanted me to share some encouragement from his word about how he directs our lives and how we can look forward to the future when we walk on the path that God has chosen for us. We don't have to have trepidation or fears about the future. Those come natural to us as humans, but you know, God wants to take us above that. I thought of the verse in Proverbs 16, verse 9, where Solomon gives us this reminder. Solomon says in that verse, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." And I would like to lift God up this morning as the ultimate director of each of our lives. God is the one who directs our lives. And I would like to help us to take any fears or trepidation, anything we might be feeling like that we have, and to place those fears into God's hands. He's the one who has the ultimate power to guide our lives. I want to glorify the God who's brought us to this place. He brought us all here this morning. He's given us this opportunity to worship him for how he's guided us in the past. You know, God brought us to this place, and I'd like to glorify him for that. For a few verses of inspiration, you can turn with me to Proverbs 3. I'd like to read you six verses here. These six verses mean something to me, and I'd like to share them with you. So Proverbs 3, I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. It says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." So what do those verses mean for you this morning and for me? Well, four different things stood out to me here. And the first one is that we need to always remember to keep God and God's commandments as the most important thing in our lives. You know, Solomon here says, he mentions it in two different verses, that we don't forget God's law. Keep God's commandments. And where does he say to keep them? Well, keep them in your heart, that place that's the nearest, dearest place to you. He says to bind them about your neck. If you have something around your neck, you're not likely to forget it right away. Bind them about your neck and write them upon the table of your heart. The table of your heart is something, it's a place that only you can see. Only you know exactly what's written there. But Solomon says that God's commandments should be there. God's commandments need to be the most important thing in our lives. And then Solomon tells us a little bit of why we should do that. He doesn't just say that it's a good thing to do. He gives us reasons why we need to keep God in the center of our lives. You know, when we keep God in the center of our lives, we will find favor both with God and the other people in our lives. And Solomon says that here, "So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men." When we follow God's path for us, we can find that favor with God and with men. You know, the next one that I picked out here, third one, is that we don't always understand the path that God chooses for us, but we must trust him with our whole heart and follow his direction. In my life, not everything has gone exactly the way I planned it, but I've been blessed by following God's commandments. And I'm here to say that to you this morning, Jared and Shelley. You don't know what God has planned for you over the next many years that you're married, I hope. But whatever He does have planned for you, it's good. And you want to be where God wants you to be. Because that's when we keep God in the center of our lives. That's what it means, that we want to be where God directs us to be. And the last one I have here is that God promises to bless those who walk in the path that He chooses for them. And Solomon writes that here. When we acknowledge God and follow His paths, He directs them, and He directs them to the place we ultimately want to be. The path may not be what we've chosen, but when we allow God to direct our lives and our paths, He can bless them wherever He wants us to be. You know, to sum it all up simply, I would say this. When you put God in the center of your life and you keep Him there, He's the most important thing to you, you can look forward to the future, whether that's here in New York or Missouri, wherever you find yourself. And you can know that come what may, no matter what happens, you know that God has you, His children, in the hollow of His hand. So I would like to close with the words that God spoke to Joshua when he was appointed to lead the children of Israel. And take this with you, Jared and Shelley. You can find this verse in Joshua 1, verse 9. It's the last part of the verse. It says, "Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." So God bless you, Jared and Shelley, as you embark on this adventure of life with Him. Let's stand for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for bringing us to this day. Thank You for the beautiful weather that You've blessed us with today as a reminder of Your goodness and how when we follow You and go where You lead us, that Your sun can shine both in our hearts and in our lives, and that You can bless us, and then we can pass those blessings on to other people. We want to thank You for Jared and Shelley here today. Thank You for their testimony of their lives, that they've been following You and that You have led them to this place. We pray to Your Lord especially that You would be with them as they go from here as man and wife. Please bless their lives. Please help them to remember to keep You as the highest priority in their lives, that no matter where they find themselves, they would honor and serve You. We pray that You would be near Carson as he brings a message this morning. Please inspire him and bless him, and may each of our hearts be touched. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Through sun and shadow. I too count it a privilege to be here on this special day. As the brother was sharing the devotional, I was thinking maybe we need some old men up front. I've been married for quite a few years, but it seems like there's always more to learn. There's a lot more wisdom than what I have to share this morning. But I'll share what God has laid on my heart, and I trust that you can be encouraged. Weddings are such exciting times for couples and families and churches. And I'm encouraged as I look over this crowd and see the interest in Christian marriage. You know, there should be full church houses when weddings are happening. It's exciting because today the church grows, the kingdom is increased, the kingdom prospers. Someone once stated that weddings are easy, marriages are difficult. And I see the truth in this statement, but I'm excited today to say that Christian marriage, though maybe not always easy, and though maybe it has some challenges and difficulties at times, is one of the most beautiful and strengthening relationships on this side of eternity. And if you've been married for any length of time here this morning, you know what I'm talking about. Well, we find ourselves in a day and age where marriages have become a formality. And there is a certain sense of formalness to marriage. But in the day and age, they've become simply a formality. People fall into them and out of them quicker than we can keep up at times. They lack glue. They lack a binder that holds them together through the varied experiences that life throws at us. And as I had to analyze some of the men I know personally, some of the men I work with, some of them have started out so nicely. They'd say they're in love. Everything looks good. But today their marriages are in shambles, just piles of rubble around their feet. And I had to analyze, I had to wonder, what is it? Is it that they lack commitment? Is it that they didn't love enough? Is it that they didn't give enough? Well, it's probably all these things and a whole lot more. For so many, two people attempting to fulfill self just don't last very long. What is to be companionship and support turns into a competition, and it doesn't take very much at all for the cracks to develop and very quickly turn into huge divides that seem unconquerable. And I'm so happy to come here today, and I'm hoping that there's nobody here that's thinking those kind of thoughts. We don't have to bury the thoughts that maybe this marriage won't last. Today, because of Jesus Christ and his work that he has done in the lives of these two dear young people, and the work that he wants to continue to do in their lives, I have full assurance this morning that, pick a number, 70 years from now, if God tarries, Jared and Shelley can look back over their lives together and praise God for the miracles he has worked and still be praising him and living for him. That is reality this morning. Well, if that seems far-fetched to you, maybe we should reconsider the plans for today. Weddings have evolved over the past few decades. They're a major industry. Weddings cost tens of thousands of dollars. And unfortunately, the vast majority of couples spend the bulk of their resources without much attention to the message of their weddings. I don't mean the sermon. I mean the focus of the wedding. And whether you intended to or not, Jared and Shelley, your wedding conveys a message to your guests here today. This day with its focus reveals a lot about you, your tastes, your personalities, and what is the most important thing in life to you. That's good. That's how weddings are supposed to be. Well, I trust today that this day can be centered around Christ, around the good news of the gospel, around the power to make marriages and homes something that can grow the kingdom of Jesus Christ on this earth. because that's what it's all about. Well, for a message this morning, I want to meditate on some things that will make this marriage last. And not just last, but prosper and accomplish the will of God. For a title to the message, I've simply called it Christ Alive in Your Marriage. If you have your Bibles here this morning, the couple gave me a text out of Colossians chapter 3. You can turn there. Verse 14 is the verse that we're going to be focusing on. I'd like to include some of the surrounding verses as the text for the message. Before I read that, I want to impress upon us this morning the contract that is being agreed on today. Marriage is a covenant act. It's a relationship-making agreement in which commitments are made. And Jared and Shelley, you love one another deeply today. And that's good. But I need to warn you that feelings can go up and down. And that's why marriage is so important. In a wedding, two people bind themselves to one another in covenantal commitment. It provides a solid foundation for a relationship. We call them contracts. We have them by the dozens. In business, in government, in our personal lives, we're probably all, at some point or another, have signed a contract. Contracts provide structure. They provide order for relationships that are essential to all of life. Contracts tell us what is expected of us and what we can expect from others. I think without contracts, our lives and our world would quickly unravel. God structures his relationships with us in a distinctive kind of contract. Usually we refer to them as covenants, which describe their character. They aren't the sort of contract that you and I can rewrite or back out of according to our will or according to circumstances. Rather, God's covenants are binding to us. Scripture says what is bound on earth will be bound in heaven. It's binding on us. Interestingly enough, they are also binding on God. Not because we have any power over God this morning or we can make any dictates, but because God has chosen to enter into contract with us, his people, his covenant people. And that's why we want to consider for a few moments this morning the presence of God in your marriage, what this contract actually means. God's desire this morning is to live his life in your marriage, just like he wants to live his life in you personally. In the covenant you make with him today, you are not free to go on from this day and conduct your marriage and your home any way you like. Remember that God is in the agreement, and he must be glorified. Now to our text, Colossians chapter 3. I struggled to know where to pick up reading here. The beginning of this chapter, the Apostle Paul tells us some things that we need to put off. There's quite a list of ugly things that do not belong on the child of God. So we're going to start reading here in verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So some things here that must be put on. Some things that your marriage must be clothed in. Just as God asks us to put on things, put off things first in our personal lives and be clothed in Christian graces, so we can make this application to marriage today. How does God, how does Christ want to live in your marriage? As you enter into this threefold agreement today, maybe it's difficult to see past each other. I remember my wedding day. It was difficult to see past my bride, but we want to attempt to do that for just a little bit this morning. For Christ to be alive in your marriage, the first point is you must be a new person in Christ. Verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. You must be a new person in Christ. And I do not doubt for a second this morning that this has happened for each of you. But remember, the devil will seek to revive that carnal nature in you and get you to respond wrongly. We face things in our marriage where this happens. That carnal nature wants to rise up. Maybe that's hard for you to imagine today when everything seems so perfect. Everything seems so right and so exciting. It happens. In Ephesians, Paul says it this way. Listen to these verses. That ye put off concerning the former conversations, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Through a continual crucifying of your sinful desires and responses, Christ can live in our marriages. But when you give place to deceitful and carnal responses, Christ cannot work. The freedom and the joy that comes with being remade quickly flees. A marriage which does not constantly crucify its own selfishness, its own self-sufficiency. A marriage which does not die to self, that it may point beyond itself, is not a Christian marriage. Remain new this morning. Remain new every morning. This only comes as you remain dependent on the Holy Spirit to guide you, as you continually, by the power of Christ, put to death that old man, as you fill yourself with the Word of God, as you actively, practically work righteousness in your marriage. Christ can live in your marriage. Number two is be merciful and kind from verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness. These positive commands that we find here are all the attributes of Christ. And really, the only way you can realize them and be able to actively fulfill them will be by the power of God. Oh, merciful and kind. That seems pretty easy, right? Should be easy. Some days are stressful. Life happens. Patience gets tested. Our strength runs out. Shelley, when Jared walks in the door, after a day, and it looks like he's maybe feeling less than the best, he has the weight of the world on his shoulders. He doesn't need at that point to hear all your problems. He may need mercy for the attitude he's struggling with. He may need some kind words to help soothe a wounded soul. Be the mercy and the kindness of Christ to your husband on those days. Jared, maybe it's you. Your phone rings. She's facing some trying circumstance or problem. Maybe it doesn't even hit your radar that it's a problem. Maybe it seems pretty small. They don't always want our answers, men. Sometimes they just want to hear that we really care. They want to hear that gentleness and that kindness in your response. It strengthens them to press on. Be the mercy and kindness of Christ to your wife. Be perceptive of the things your partner is facing. Respond to them and aid them in this spirit of mercy. This is how Christ lives in your marriage. Number three, be humble and long-suffering. Verse 12 again, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. These points we are looking at here are the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians. As the Spirit of God fills you individually, it will change your relationship. The Spirit fruit that we're looking at here will find a fertile place to grow. Well, how about humble, long-sufferingness? I put these together as I feel we won't have one without the other. Pride does not suffer long. Pride does not like to wait. Pride demands its own way and makes life very miserable when it doesn't get it. Two humble souls coming together and entering into covenant with God will know peace that passes all understanding. Turmoil abounds in homes and marriages when people can't wait on each other with a humble, long-suffering spirit. When your wife is getting under your skin or vice versa, remember how long-suffering Christ has been with your shortcomings and mistakes. Seek to demonstrate that same attitude to your partner, to your children when they've made a mistake, or when they're acting or responding much differently than maybe you think they should. This humble, long-suffering attitude is an earmark of the kingdom. Marriages don't work without it. Homes won't work without it. Homes won't prosper. Schools and churches won't prosper. It takes humility to grease the gears of our relationships. Humility just like Christ exemplified. This is how Christ wants to live in your marriage. And one more. Number four, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Verse 14, above all these things. This is the most important one, Paul says. Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. I'm not overlooking verse 13 on purpose. For the sake of time, we can't discuss everything here. If you are a new person in Christ, if you are filled with the qualities that citizens of the kingdom of Jesus Christ possess, the forgiveness it speaks of here in verse 13 will be as easy as loving. Maybe we hear people say it, or maybe we read it in the wedding section on the cards. Love is in the air. Well, it's true that if it wasn't for love, weddings wouldn't happen, would they? There wouldn't be a marriage today. The society we live in has taken love and twisted it all around and made it a self-gratifying emotion that's bought and sold, maybe you think very cheaply, but I believe for a very high price. They give everything they have to fill this need in their life. And after they've given everything they have, they're kicked to the side of the road, left feeling useless and dirty. But this morning, for those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus for their soul's need, love is so rich and meaningful. On a joyous day like today, love is most definitely in the air. But it's so much more than just in the air. I trust that true love in its purest form has been felt by each one here deep within their hearts, at the center of their being. This being the love of an almighty God. If it wasn't for this love, human love could never exist. It would not be possible. 1 John 3 verse 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." 1 John 4, 8, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Love in its purest form is who our God is. Love is what sent his dear Son to the cross and required him to give his life so we could again have relationship with our Heavenly Father. Love is Christ surrendering all, not for his own gain, but for those who hated him. Love is that oil of grace that continually gets poured into our experiences, even when we feel we don't deserve it. Exemplify this love, Christ's love, in your marriage. This is pure love. And what a beautiful picture of the love that must be the foundation, the grease, the glue in this marriage that will happen here shortly. This kind of love is a solid reality that can be built upon. It is this caliber of love that greases these gears of relationship and keep it flowing smoothly. It's the glue that holds us together on those dark and terrible days. Jared and Shelley, you love each other very deeply this morning, I trust. Your love is that love that started in the heart of God and was poured out to you. And it is this love that flows from one heart to the other this morning. If it is, your love will only grow deeper and more meaningful. I'd like to read you a couple verses from Song of Solomon 8, verse 6. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath the most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned. Set your love for each other as a seal upon your heart today. Love is not the emotion that comes and goes. Pure, holy love is that choice to love no matter what. Real love, genuine love, is different from just being in love. It's not merely a feeling. It's a deep unity, maintained by the will, strengthened by habit, reinforced by the grace which both partners ask for and receive from God. Verse 6 in Song of Solomon said that love is as strong as death. How strong is death? Well, it's the one guarantee in life. Make your love for each other the other guarantee. Pure, holy love is a vehement flame which will never be quenched. The waters of life that will seek to push you under will not stand a chance against your love if it is a love fashioned like Christ's. The verse ends by saying that if we could give everything we have to try to buy this love, it would be utterly condemned. It's impossible. It would look like a garbage pile in comparison to the value of this pure and holy love. Well, my prayer for you and your marriage is that your love is this love. Then you will know true joy and satisfaction. Love ever gives, forgives, outlives, and ever stands with open hands. And while it lives, it gives, for this is love's prerogative, to give and give and give, just like our Jesus did. Well, may your marriage today be filled and continue to be filled with the purest form of love. This God will truly prosper. Love does not just consist in gazing at each other, but in looking outward together in the same direction. It's okay to have fallen in love with each other. That's wonderful. But within the Christian vision of marriage, this is what it means to fall in love. It's to look at each other today and get a glimpse of what God is creating. And to respond, I see what God is making in you. And it excites me. I want to be a part of that. I want to partner with you and God in the journey you are taking to His throne. This is genuine love that is the bond of perfectness. This is genuine commitment. This is Christ alive in your marriage. Well, I won't keep you any longer. You didn't come here just to listen to me today. The kingdom of God needs homes and relationships that enter into covenant with Him. Homes and relationships that grow the kingdom of heaven here on earth. The kingdom of heaven is the restoration of all things. It is the redemption of every single part of our lives laid low at the feet of Christ. The kingdom of heaven is the victory of good over evil. It's the wiping away of all tears. It is the growth of faith and hope and love. It is the transformation of ordinary selves into heavenly creatures who are in harmony with God, who submit their wills to that of the King of all kings. And I trust we will see this transformation in your lives, in your marriage, in your home, as you live in love to God and in a confidence of his will for your life. Jared Shelley, step forth in faith, and God's richest blessing be upon you.
Say, we've been blessed to be here as we opened up Scripture and studied in what God would have for us. As I ponder that devotional, Proverbs 3:1-6, I pondered for you, Jared and Rochelle. It starts out and says, my son, my dear couple. Proverb writers, I believe we can put it in there and not do injustice to Scripture. My dear couple, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. It'll bear you through life. God will lead. Keep Christ first in your heart. And he will be first in your marriage if you let him. But importantly, that we keep him first in our hearts. And so when we come into thinking about the message Brother Carson brought, keeping Christ alive in our marriage, it takes work. When you think about charity, charity is a choice, our brother shared, and that it is very much, as you ponder the word charity and do a study, we use the word love, but it's so distorted in our world today. This charity means more than just the word love. It means a choice. It's not the feelings. You may say that don't feel like it. You need that admonition. But marriages go through stages. If the Lord wills, you will go through stages in your marriage life. And I don't know that there's any marriages here that can't relate to the fact that there's that honeymoon stage. And then there's that real time of where love is a choice. It wears off, and we choose to love, to be merciful and kind as our Father is, our Father in heaven is. As we're singing the song, our second song stood out to me as we pondered the wonder of love. In the chorus it says this, the wonder of love to me is made known. God's mercy and pardon so freely are shown. And so let's keep Christ first in our marriage. Keep him alive in your marriage because he is the one where we learn mercy. And we learn pardon, and we learn forgiveness for our sins. May the Lord bless you as you step out in this marriage journey. It has now been fully made known that Brother Jared Seth Huber and Sister Rochelle Leanne Sensnick have requested the privilege to be joined together by the bonds of holy matrimony. Since we have been given no reason to forbid this desire, we invite them to come forward with their witnesses to perform the marriage ceremony. Brother Jared, Sister Rochelle, do you believe that matrimony is an ordinance instituted of God and confirmed and sanctioned by Jesus Christ, and that you must enter into it in the fear of God?
I do.
Brother Jared. In anticipation of your marriage to Rochelle, are you able to confess that you are unmarried and free from all other marriage relations and engagements whatsoever?
I am.
Sister Rochelle, in anticipation of your marriage to Jared, are you able to confess and declare that you are unmarried and free from all other marriage relations and engagements whatsoever?
I am.
Brother Jared, standing by your side is Sister Rochelle, whom you have asked to be your wedded wife, in the purity and strength of your character, and in your exclusive love for her in the marriage bond, lies increased happiness, security, and fulfillment for her. In the consciousness of these truths, and in the solemnity and sacredness of these moments, I ask you, Jared, will you now, in the presence of God and these witnesses, take Rochelle, the sister by your side, to be your wedded wife? Will you love and cherish her, provide and care for her in health and sickness, in prosperity and in adversity, exercise patience, kindness, and forbearance toward her, and live with her in peace as becometh a faithful Christian husband, and forsaking all others, keep yourself only unto her as long as you both shall live?
I will.
Sister Rochelle, standing by your side is Brother Jared, whom you have agreed shall be your wedded husband. In the virtue and devotion of your life and in the exclusive love for him in the marriage bond lies increased inspiration, strength, and fulfillment for him. In the consciousness of these truths, and in the solemnity and sacredness of these moments, I ask you, Rochelle, will you now in the presence of God and these witnesses take Jared, the brother by your side, to be your wedded husband? Will you love and cherish him in health and in sickness, in prosperity and adversity? Share with him the joys and sorrows of life. Exercise patience, kindness, and forbearance toward him, and live with him in peace as becometh a faithful Christian wife. And forsaking all others, keep yourself only unto him as long as you both shall live. You may now join your right hands for the solemnizing of the union. Brother Jared and Sister Rochelle, the Lord has now heard your vows. Upon these vows which you have made before God and these witnesses, I will herewith, as a minister of the gospel, pronounce you Jared, the husband of Rochelle, and you, Rochelle, the wife of Jared. May God your Father, the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior, the Holy Spirit your guide and comforter, be with you and bless you. What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Go forth now as husband and wife. Live in peace, fear God, and keep his commandments. The congregation might now stand while I kneel with the couple for the consecration prayer. Please remain standing until further direction. Our Father in heaven, we come before you as these vows have been made to one another, but most of all to you. These commitments, these binding commitments that man can't put us under. Lord, we pray that you would just bless Jared and Rochelle in a special way as they step out in this marriage journey. Help them to keep leaning on you for strength for each day. Bless them as they go through this time of feeling love for each other, and also as they go through the seasons of life, and maybe love is a choice. May you just bless them through that time and help them to lean on you and also to grow together stronger, that their marriage may be one that is a light and a witness and resembles the love that you have for the church. Lord, as they go from here, and as life goes on, Lord, as you bless them with children, may you bless them as they ponder raising the next generation. Give them a burden and a zeal to lead the next generation in strong servants of thine. Just bless them through whatever journey you take them in their marriage life. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A wedding wish. As your married life dawns, standing side by side, may your dream hearts become one, and may love abide. May the dreams that you're dreaming all come true, and may everything wonderful happen to you. May you come to know that in love it's wise to give of yourself, to compromise, to learn how to listen and how to forgive, and to treasure each other as long as you live. May you be as happy as you can be in a home that's filled with tranquility. But when storms arise and they cause you distress, may you counter the turmoil with tenderness. As you share in the laughter and the tears, may you freely express your hopes and your fears. Keep Christ as your leader as you walk side by side, and forever and always may true love abide.